Hey guys, we're so excited to share this message with you on the Center Set podcast. My name is Ethan and I lead worship here at Center Set. We'd love for you to download our app so that you can keep up with all that is happening in our community. Text Center Set to 77977 to download.
Good morning, good morning. Who's excited to be in church today? For those of you that are new, my name is Ali, my beautiful wife and I, we pastor this church. And if today is your first Sunday, you picked a great Sunday to come to church because we are starting a new collection of talks called Love on the Weekend. And we're going to walk through the very first love story in the Bible between Adam and Eve. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about stuff you've probably never even heard about in church. Next week, Adam is going to see a naked woman for the first time and sing, and she's going to fall in love with them. Which is why all the musicians pulled the chicks, right? This is why Ethan pulled his wife, because he can sing. Right? So if you're taking notes, that's the first one you should write down. I should learn how to sing. And then in 2 weeks, we're going to learn about what happens when you fight. How do you make the love last? And in the fourth week of our installment, Pastor Yaz and I are going to come up on stage. We're going to talk some real talk about the real dirt on relationships. It's going to be fun. You're not going to want to miss it. Let me just quickly pray and we'll begin. God, thank you so much, Lord, that we didn't just come, God, to hear about you, to study you, God. We came to experience you this morning. Thank you, God, that you're alive and you're speaking through me this morning to your church. God, would you change marriages this morning? Would you change people's destiny this morning? God, would you reveal yourself to people, God, who are questioning and wondering if you're real? Would you show yourself even through the basic stories of love in the scriptures? And everybody said,
amen.
Come on, a little bit louder. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. It was 2008 and the world economy crashed. And for me, it was good news, even though it was bad news for the rest of the world. I could actually afford to buy a house here. Now they're like 1.5, like crazy money, right? Like, but back then, you could buy a house for like $400,000. It was awesome. So I'm this 27-year-old punk with more money than I know what to do with, right? I'm in tech, and I buy this house, but listen, I'm so like poor. Like, I have enough money to buy the keys, but like not any furniture. Like, my house is empty. And even the stuff that I bought, like I bought a washer and dryer, they're like 25 years old. Like, you'd put a new t-shirt in this thing and it would like come out like 15 years weathered. Like, it had sun stains on the shirt even though it was never in the sun. It was like one of those washing machines. And it finally broke down. And my roommates, like, they party, like, yes, Ali's gonna finally buy a new one. Of course, I might be like equity rich, but like I have my cash poor. Like, only people in Silicon Valley know what I'm talking about. So I called Sears and I said, you guys need to come fix this. The guy literally walks into my garage and takes two steps back. He's like, they don't even make this machine anymore. Like, even God couldn't fix this thing and you want me to fix this. He goes, listen, it's going to cost you about X amount of money to buy a new one. And just to like calm your expectations, this one isn't going to last 25 years like this one, the new one that you buy. I'm like, why? He's like, they don't make them like they used to. And that phrase stuck with me. I think we live in a culture now where relationships, they don't make them like they used to. When people hear the word relationships, people don't think about church anymore. See, the church used to be a place where you come to learn God's ways and how to love your spouse and how to raise your kids. Today, when people think about relationships, they can think of Kanye and Kim, right? They think of Kylie Jenner and the Kardashians. People don't think about God's people and his word. And part of the problem is honestly us. Like, we know God, but we don't walk with him. We know the truth, but we just don't want to obey it. So if you're a doubter, if you have questions, if you're an agnostic here, maybe your spouse brought you and they believe and you don't, let me just acknowledge, I understand why you don't. Sometimes our faith makes it hard for you to understand why we believe what we do. Sometimes we don't even obey the things that God asked us to. So let me begin by saying, though, that God doesn't want us to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Like, I love Taylor Swift and her songs are amazing, but listen, every time you break up with your girlfriend, God doesn't want you to write a song about what happened, right? And God doesn't want you to have like five husbands like Kim K or Elizabeth Taylor. He wants you to have one, like one for keeps. And listen, these are things that we didn't do, things that I did. These are the mistakes that we all made. Like, please don't feel like I'm judging you. These are the things that I made the same mistakes. Like, when I was in college, I double majored, computer science and sinning. I even graduated with honors in sinning, like magna cum idiot, right? But God, listen, he wants you to succeed in your relationships. But most people, they just know the basics. Even if you're not a Christian, you know, you're not supposed to have sex before you get married. You're supposed to only have one monogamous relationship. But after that, it's like, well, what else am I supposed to do? What else does God want me to do to prepare? And that's what this whole series is about. Whether you're married, single, or it's complicated, or you're that Instagram stalker, right? Where you like people's pictures, but you don't follow them. That's so weird. We love you at this church, but we know who you are. Like, you watch our stories, but you don't like actually follow us, which means you have to go to the search, look up our name, and then look at the story. It's okay. You're a stalker. We love you. Or maybe you love that person and you want them to love you back, but you don't want to reveal how much you like them, so you don't. I get it. No matter where you are, God wants you to succeed in your relationships. And most of us, though, we don't have even an aim. Like, imagine shooting a crossbow with your eyes closed. Like, you would hit something, but not the intended goal, right? And that's so many times the issue with our relationships. We're aiming at nothing because we have no standard, no goal to shoot at. Some of us, if we're honest, our parents weren't aiming. They called us an oops baby, right? They just had something, but weren't expecting it. Let me define for you what a goal is. A goal is the result or achievement towards which an effort is directed. It takes effort for relationships. It takes effort. See, in the last 15 years, relationships have changed more than the previous 1500. I'm not sure if you know this, but for thousands of years, if you wanted a girl, you'd go to her house. It's called courting. You'd have dinner with her parents in her family's home. Like, I think your daughter's cute. And they'd be like, okay, come to our house. And you have a meal at their table around their daughter. And then in the 1920s, things began to change with the advent of a vehicle. Then the term dating before that was a term that men would use when they were having a night with a prostitute. But it changed because now you can go to a woman's house, take her to the movie theater, take her to a restaurant, take her to your place. And then the 1960s, the sexual revolution changed everything. Out went our inhibitions and out went God's word and in came the sexual revolution. And then they say in the last 10 years, everything radically changed with Tinder, right? I'm just kind of warning you, if your Tinder profile like beeps when you're in this room, you're going straight to hell. I'm just warning you, right? 1 in 3 Americans is on Tinder. See, we don't even have boyfriends and girlfriends anymore. We have bae, right? We don't marry bae. We just Netflix and chill with bae. But God wants to give you a standard. God wants to prepare you before the person. God wants to redefine what sex looks like within the marriage. Because Kim K is defining it, culture is defining it, Netflix is defining it. God wants to give you something that, listen, that doesn't change with the times, doesn't change with culture. See, the word of God says in Isaiah that the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God lasts everlasting. And God wants to give you a standard, principles to live by, principles that will help your relationship, not just to condemn you, but listen, to help you. And we're going to look at the very first love story between Adam and Eve. And there are some things in that story that you need to understand. In the very first chapter, God, listen, is creating man and woman. And what you need to understand is there's a word that theologians use. It's called the Trinity. You never find this word in your Bible, but it's a word that explains what is happening. And let me explain very briefly. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, God says, let us make man in our image. Why does God say us when God is one? See, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all there in the beginning creating mankind. They didn't like design us like by accident. They created us with intention. So I'm going to read you the account of the first story, and I want you to see some patterns that are there, and then God's going to say it's not good. And I want you to see where he says it's not good. Read Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 with me. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was, say it with me,
good.
See, if you're new to this church, we're a loud church. You entered a room full of faith. We don't just sit there quietly. We respond. And God saw that the light was
good.
Next verse. Then God called the ground, the dry ground land, and the waters seas, and God saw that it was
good.
That's right. Let's go. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation. God made asparagus, broccoli, orca, and God looked at him and said, man, he's going to make some amazing soul food. Every sort of seed-bearing plant and the trees that grow seed-bearing fruit, and God saw that it was
good.
Keep going. Then God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from darkness, and God saw that it was
good.
So God created the sea creatures, Nemo, Willie and Ariel, even Sebastian. And every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, like the birds in Nemo, mine, God created those right there. Each producing offspring of the same kind, and God saw that it was
good.
God made all sorts of wild animals, Timba, Simba, Timon, livestock from all small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was
good.
Then the Lord God said, it is not good. Wow, 6 days of amazing. And then God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. Listen, God does not make mistakes. God is perfect. When we open Adobe Illustrator, we have a couple designs. God never used the undo button when he made us. And what's so interesting is God is here by himself. No one's looking over his shoulder saying, why would you make it like that? God sees something in us that no one else sees. He knows something about us that we don't even know about ourselves, that it is not good for us to be alone. The first truth, if you're taking notes this morning, is God wants relationship for you. See, some of you have been so hurt in the past, you push people away. But God wants a relationship for you. You see, this is why some of the introverts, they show up late, right? Because they don't want to be part of that greeting time. Or they sit in a chair with five empty seats all around them, right? This is why some of you take online courses because you don't want to be around people. This is why your favorite day of the week is Saturday because it's just you and your cat and Netflix, right? It's true. But God desires a relationship for you.
Yeah.
He never intended for you to be that way. And so listen, you can't fight this. You can't go to therapy. You can't go to have surgery or remove this. You can't pray this desire away.
Yeah.
And your cat and Netflix will never fill that void. But what's so interesting is that God made man in the perfect presence of a perfect God, and it was not good for him to be alone. Not that it wasn't just a good option. It's not good. It's not good for you to set up your life that's guarded and protected from other people.
Yeah.
It's not good for you to live your life isolated and guarded from other people relationally. It's not good for you to be alone. And that's where the enemy comes and speaks to us. When you're alone, you have no one else who sees what's going on in your life. And his native tongue is lying.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you, he'll try to convince you of who you are. He'll say, you're this. This is how you know someone doesn't spend time with God. They'll say things like, I could never. God can never use me to do that. I'll never be able to accomplish that. That's not who you are. You're not fat. You're just husky. Right? But that's why you need people in your life, so they can speak truth to you, encourage you. See, some of you, you've been so hurt in the past, this idea scares you. I want everyone to say this with me.
God wants
relationship for me. God wants you to have a best friend, even though the last one left you high and dry. God wants you to have a relationship, even though the last one ended poorly. God wants you to have a hope for a marriage that's full of love, full of trust and transparency, where you don't have to worry what the other person is doing. God desires a relationship for you. And no matter your past, no matter the pain that you've experienced, God can take all of our yesterday, and if we give it to him, he can give us hope for our tomorrow. He can take all of it and use it for our good. But the question is, will you trust him? Will you trust him? And what God wants to show you is, I jump to verse 18, but there's a whole other bunch of verses before God said it was not good for man to be alone, where God shows us a couple of principles, a foundation that he wants to lay in our life before the person. Read this verse with me. Then the Lord God planted, everyone say planted. A garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man. If you have a Bible, underline that word placed, the man that he had made. Underline that word made if you're taking notes this morning. Next verse. Then the Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground. God made them grow. Trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now watch this. The Lord God placed the man in the garden to tend and to watch over. That's the purpose of why God put him there, to tend and watch over. If you're taking notes, underline those two words, tend and watch. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit, of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. And then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just for him. Today's title of today's sermon is Before the Person. Turn to your neighbor and say, Before the Person. Turn to the other person that you ignored the first time that needs hope this morning, before the person. See, there are five things in these verses, listen, that God wants to put in your life before the person. You know, it doesn't matter if you're married or you're single or it's complicated or you're that Instagram stalker and we love you. There are principles that you can pull and it will change every relationship in your life.
Yeah.
And they all happen, listen, before the person. Because if you don't develop these things, you're going to look for people to fill the void that only God can.
Come on. Yeah, come on.
And the first thing that God wants to put inside of you, if you're taking notes, is before the person, is a place. Everybody say place.
Place.
I'm not talking about your 400 square foot apartment. Not that. I'm talking about a place. God created Eden, and then he placed Adam there. See, most of us, we want to pick the place that we're planted. But see, in my generation, we're always like, every time I talk to someone, like, oh, I'm moving to LA, I'm moving to Atlanta, I'm moving to Dallas, I'm moving to Seattle. Everyone's, I'm always moving. But what's so interesting about this story is Adam didn't pick the place where he was in. Wow. God picked it. Wow. See, what looks like a coincidence is actually God's placement. Yeah. See, what we do, though, is we fight the placement. God placed you in that family. People are like, Pastor Al, you don't understand how crazy my dad is, how my siblings are nuts. God placed you there. Yeah. And that thing that you think is a mountain, God put in your life so that you can show others that it can be moved. Yeah. That job that you're at that you hate, God placed you there. Yeah. So you're focused on the paycheck. God's focused on the character that's trying to develop inside of you. Wow. You're placed there. If I can be just real this morning, some of you come to church every Sunday and you love it. You're like, oh, can we sing some of those slow songs? Like, But every week it's like, Like, why do we sing those songs? What you need to do is you need to go to Growth Track and you'll hear the why behind the what. And then when you hear why we're doing what we're doing, why this is the most unchurched valley in the entire region, you'll sit in the first two rows, for Jesus, just like us. But you fight the place. But you fight the place. Can I speak to the college students this morning? In a few months, you're going to hear back from some of those schools, and some of you are going to soar on cloud nine because you're going to get in the school of your dreams. And others of you, your heart's going to break because you think your life is over because you didn't get into that school. Listen, let me remind you, Jesus never went to school either. In that culture, everyone was invited to university called a rabbi. See, in our culture, we apply to universities. Back then, a rabbi would invite you. Guess who never got invited? Jesus. God placed him as a carpenter. Yeah. Because God wanted to develop something in him that a rabbi could never give him. Wow. See, some of you, you're fighting the place. And God placed Adam before the person. Before the person. And when you fight it, you'll miss the second one. The second one is this. Before the person, God wants to give you purpose. Everybody say purpose.
Purpose.
So God placed Adam in the garden, and then he had him tend and work. Which means, if you're taking notes this morning, Adam was walking in purpose before Bay. But most of us, you know where we put our time and energy? We put our time and energy on Tinder, on eHarmony, on Match.com because we're looking for the person instead of looking for purpose. See, God wants to put you in a place where you discover your purpose. Some of you say, God, but I hate my job, but I want to give you more than just 10 bucks an hour. I'm trying to build something inside of you to show you why I created you. But God, my boss is never going to promote me. Promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. Promotion comes from God. And he's trying to build something inside of you, a tolerance for something that's on the next chapter of your life. Yeah. But we're so focused on him and her, listen, that we don't realize why God put us her. It's Ebonics for some of you right there. Let me say it the real way. Some of us are so focused on him and her that we don't even realize why God put us here.
Yeah.
And Adam, listen, he had a place and he had a purpose long before anyone showed up.
Yeah.
Long before anyone showed up. And the third thing, if you do the first two by faith, this third one is a natural byproduct. It's proof that you did the first two right. The third one is provision. Everybody say provision.
Provision.
See, what I love about God, and this is going to be a very hard pill to swallow. God will listen to your plans, but only fund his. Like, he'll hear you in prayers, talk about your five-year vision about when you want to get married, when you want to have kids, and when you want to have a wife, but he'll only fund his ideas. Because where there's vision, there's provision. It says in the garden, verse 15, that God made the trees grow. Yes, Adam was working them, but God did the miracle. See, if you find yourself in a season where you're struggling, paycheck to paycheck, struggling, it's never enough. You need to go back to God. Am I in the right place, God? If I can tell you the story of this church, what we started 15 months ago. See, I'm not sure if you know this, but the average church in the Bay Area needs about $1 million over 3 years to launch successfully. Well, my wife and I, we started this church September of 2017. We had only raised about $500,000. But God, listen, praise God for that. We had money for 2 years. But God placed us. And then the reason why I know this is we originally wanted to go to Campbell. My wife and I, we there are tons of white people there. We're all about the white people. We want to go there. Just being real. God closed every door. And then we tried to go to Mountain View. God closed every door. Then we tried to go to Cupertino. God closed every door. God opened up this door, and we stopped fighting the place. And then when we discovered our purpose, we sold our home in North Sunnyvale by Mountain View, and we moved two blocks away. And we had no money for the full 3 years, but we said, God, you're going to make it grow. And 3 months of launching, God opened five churches to give us money to cover the gap. Listen, what's so crazy is that last month, a church I never even called, I never even reached out to, they said God told them to give us money. That's what happens when you stop fighting the place and you start walking in purpose. God makes it grow. You don't need to kick your boss's door down for a promotion. God already sees you. He's going to promote you in his time. Stop fighting the place. Start embracing the purpose. And listen, Adam had a place and a purpose and provision long before she ever showed up. Long before she ever showed up. And the fourth thing that God wants to show you is before the person is personality. This is a weird one because I'm a preacher and everything has to be P. The real word is identity. That's like weird. P-P-P-I? No, I can't do that. I read a book a couple years ago called Make It Stick by Dan Chippen and Dan Hirth. It's a great book that ideas stick when they're memorable. Identity is a good word. Don't get me wrong. But four P's or five P's, you're going to get all P's to say. Those are more memorable. So place, purpose, provision, personality. See, what's so interesting about this story is that God placed Adam, then he gave him purpose, he made Adam in his image, I'm gonna make you like this, and then he provides, he makes it grow, and then he gives him an identity. What's so interesting about this, the identity is that when God made man, he made him in his image. But what is God? Did he make us in the image of the world? Did he make us in the image of Kanye and Kim? No, he made us in the image of a God who's king, which means you're royalty. It means you're the son of the Most High. And when you let other people define who you are, you'll never be comfortable in your own shoes. When you define your identity by anything other than the thing that God gave you, when you define it by your wallet, by your car, by your muscles, by anything other than God, listen, it's a false identity. You know how it's a false identity? Because it's heaven when you have it, and it's hell when you don't. A couple years ago, when my wife and I were dating, basically, my wife, I love her to death. I'm going to say this in the most endearing way that I can. She was born in the hood, right? You can take it out of the hood, but the hood never came out of her. She's like the female version of Suge Knight. I find it cute, right? So my wife and I, before we got together and married, I used to wear like khakis and like button-up shirt, right? And I was a nerd. Software engineer is totally normal. We were in LA one time and we were like shopping because like she's huge into fashion. You see, she dresses me now. So we're in this boutique that sells all these like sneakers from the 80s. Like I had never even heard of these shops. Like every shoe's in plastic wrap. Like why are we here? Like these shoes are so expensive. And she's like, I think you'd look good in Jordans, Allie. I'm like, are you sure? Okay, well, you know, I don't have my identity. I'm not secure in who I am. So I'm like, okay. So here I am like wearing like Nerd R Us khakis with a button-up shirt. And I'm in the dressing room. And it's the first time in my life I look in the mirror. I'm like, I'm an idiot. Like, what am I doing? Literally, if you are not comfortable in who you are, you'll never be comfortable in someone else's shoes. And the beautiful thing about God is he wants to give you an identity. You don't have to like look out there. You don't have to listen to the new age spirits. You need to look within. God already told you who you are. You're a daughter and son of the Most High. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. And God says when you walk into a room, faith says mountains move. And God says that nothing is impossible for you because greater is he that is in you that is in the world. And either you believe that or you let Kim and Kanye tell who you are. And our problem is that we look on Instagram. We look at all those celebrity models, every person on social media, and we let them define who we are. And most of us need to get off Facebook and we need to get our face in the book. Because God wants to tell you who you are. He wants to change your destiny. And listen, Adam had a place, he had a purpose, he had provision, and he had a personality long before she ever showed up. And he wants to give those things to you before the relationship. Because if you don't, you're going to look to her to tell you who you are. And when she leaves, your heart's going to break and your world's going to end. But she's never supposed to fill that spot, or he's never supposed to fill that spot that only God can fill. And the fifth thing that God wants to give you before the person is this. Parameters. Parameters. This is a nice way of saying God has guardrails for our life. In the garden, he places Adam in the garden and says, you can eat from any tree. Eat from any tree freely, except for this one. And most of us, most of your friends, most of you non-believers, most of you agnostics, like, why does God, an all-loving, perfect God, why does he put limits? Why is there an exception? My way of having fun, I'm sorry. Because every parent knows you have to put limits on your children, or even when their intentions are good, they'll hurt themselves. Look, one time my wife was out of town, I gave my daughter ice cream for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Worst mistake of my life. Listen, the reason there are two locks on my door, because my daughter will unlock the door and run butt naked to the park. And the lock, listen, is not meant to control her, but to protect her. And God gave you some parameters, listen, to protect you, not to control you. And what's so beautiful is God's sitting there with all these trees. He's like, Adam, you can eat from any tree that you want. It's not like there are two trees, and Adam's like, oh my gosh, A or B. God's like, I got greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes. You name it. You got it. God gave him everything that he wanted. And God wants to give you parameters, listen, before the person. Because if you don't have a standard, the person's going to define them. And that's why most Christians get hurt in relationships. And they push back the idea that God designed us for relationships. And that you only want bae. Because you didn't do it his way the first time. Listen, when you drive to Tahoe and there are guardrails along the highway, you don't complain about the government trying to control you. You thank them for the guardrails that are there to protect you. These things are here so that you can praise God that he loves you like a father, that he cares enough to protect you and guide you, not to control you. And listen, that's the power of parameters, that whether you're a mature believer or a baby believer, it still blesses you. See, my daughter, as soon as she could walk, her and I would walk to the park, and every time we'd cross the street, I'm like, Sophie, she's 5'2", but heart of a lion. Like, Sophie, don't cross the street without me. And there were times where she would like literally run and grab her by the neck and pull her back and be like, okay, hold my hand. And now, listen, I've taught her so well, we'll be in the parking lot at Target. She's like, Daddy, no, hold my hand. And that's the power of a parameter. It doesn't matter if you're a baby or a mature believer, it's still there to protect you. And that's the beauty of walking in Christianity, that you realize God wants the best for you. And what he gives you, you want to give your own children. And maybe you complained. Maybe you didn't understand the heart of God. But when you do, you realize you begin to praise him for the little things that he did give. Thank you, God, for that parameter. Thank you, God, for those things that you limited me. Not to limit my fun, but to maximize it. And God gave Adam a place, purpose, provision, a personality, and parameters. And all those things, listen, before the person. Before the person. There's this illustration that I want to show you. I'm not sure how it's going to work, but I'm going to do my best. But imagine for a moment, this is us, this vessel. And as we go through life, we're in elementary school, and someone says we're fat, we're not smart enough, we're not athletic enough, we're not good enough. And we carry these lies that culture, that people, maybe a teacher said you're not smart enough. Maybe their boyfriend broke up with you and said you'll never get someone beautiful like me. And we carry these lies with us. Maybe you graduated high school and then you went to college, and the things that you heard, the people that rejected you, you believe you're not good enough. You need to have thinner thighs. You need to wear a size zero. Only then are you beautiful. You need to have bigger muscles and a nice car, and only then will a girl love you. And we fill our lives with things that aren't true, that God never intended for us. And then these things take root in our heart, and they hold us back from the destiny that God has for us. And we find ourselves in our 30s, and we say, I should have a car at this age. I should be married at this age. I should have kids at this age. And God never said you should have anything. But we place these limits on ourselves, and we find ourselves full of everything but God. And then in 2 Peter, chapter 1, it says, but God has given us everything we need to live a godly life. God has given you everything that you need to live a godly life. And if you're like me, I look at myself when I came to church, I'm like, man, what are you talking about, God? I'm one messed up person. And God says in the second half of that verse, it says, we received it by coming to know him. See, I can't help you. I can point you to the person that can, though. Yeah. See, God wants to fill you with something other than the lies of the enemy, lies of culture, lies of how you're supposed to do relationships, lies of how you even see yourself. And imagine if this water is the power of God. This is why every week I ask you, what's your next step? Listen, I don't need you to serve in this church. Your faith, your marriage needs you to learn how to serve other people before you can serve your own spouse. Listen, Christianity is impossible by yourself. My question for you is, are you in a life group? Are you surrounded by people that can help you become that person before the person? Are you dealing with money in God's way? Because he wants to prove to you that he's going to give you the promotion, not your boss at work. And as you begin to walk with God and you come to church, you begin to fill this jar. And people say, Ali, I'm doing everything you tell me. I see no change. Anything that's worth doing is worth repeating. And God, if you let him, he'll fill you. Because everything that you need to live a godly life is already within you. God wants to fill you. He wants to replace the lie. He wants to do that in your life. No, these are fine. I want those there for a reason. Because it's not like I'm immune to the lies of the enemy. There are still times where I still believe I'm not good enough, that I still believe I can't. But what the power of that is, the lie isn't in too deep. It's always on the surface. It's always on the surface. God wants to do that in your life. Listen, he wants to place you somewhere. He wants to give you purpose. He wants to give you provision. He wants to give you personality. He wants to give you parameters before the person. Will you let him though? You guys can close your eyes and bow your heads. I'd love to pray for you this morning. God, thank you, Lord, that you are alive and well. Thank you, Jesus, that the tomb is empty and that there is news to tell. And you created Adam for a place, for a purpose, and you provided. You gave him provision, God. You gave him an identity, a personality. And then you gave him parameters, God, so that he can walk out this love relationship that you created for. Because it is not good for man to be alone. I just want to pray for those this morning that want to embrace these truths. I say, God, would you develop those things within me? I want to walk the way that you taught me to walk, God. I know who you are, Jesus. I identify as a Christian. I want you to develop those things in me. If that's you this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed, would you just be willing to raise your hand? Like, I want one of those five things in my life this morning. Yes, all around the room, all around the room. Don't be afraid. Yes, you in the back on the corner. Yes, yes, you guys put your hands down. Let me pray for you this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave us a clear vision, not of who we're supposed to marry, but of how we're to prepare before we get there. Thank you, Jesus, that I don't need to look at Kim and Kanye in the world, that I can look at your word, that it's everlasting, it's never failing. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave me a clear picture that my family's there on purpose. The school I'm at is on purpose. You're gonna provide every day of my life, God, for me. I'm gonna find my identity in you, Jesus. From this day forward, God, I'm gonna embrace your parameters, not as control, God, but protection. And there are some of you this morning, you have never heard the gospel, that God sent his son Jesus, because Adam and Eve ultimately failed just like us. They all fall short. Every person in this room falls short of the glory of God. And one day God knew that we were gonna fall short, so he sent his son to die for us. God, the son lived the sinless, perfect life. In every way that we failed, he didn't. In every way that we didn't have those characters, he did. And instead of us dying, he went on a cross and died for us, because he's the perfect parent. He doesn't just want to protect you, he's going to die for you. Some of you have never heard that truth. And this is your first time at church in a long time. And you thought, what do I need to do to get God to love me? He already loves you. He already sent his son. And he wants to prepare a perfect life for you. Not just a spouse, that every day of your life would be ordained, that would be set before you. But he wants to walk with you. The same way that he walked with Adam in the garden, he wants to walk with you. Christianity is not about coming to a building. It's about having a relationship with the living God. And God wants a relationship with you. He wants it so bad, he was willing to die for you. That's you this morning. You've never prayed to receive Christ. You've never prayed to start that relationship with Jesus. It would be my honor to pray with you. Remember, you're not saying yes to me. You're not saying yes to this church. You're saying yes to him, the one who created you, who placed you, who wants to provide for you, the only one who can give you purpose. His name is Jesus. That's you this morning, with every eye closed and every head bowed. Would you just slowly raise your hand? I'd love to pray for you this morning. that's you, you want to pray to receive Christ this morning. Amen. You can put your hand down. See you in the back. Just repeat after me. Thank you, Jesus, that you left heaven. Thank you, Jesus, that you lived the sinless and perfect life. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on a cross for my sin. And now your death didn't just end there, God. You resurrected. The tomb is empty. There's something bigger than the Super Bowl. It's Super Sunday. That our God conquered death. He conquered sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you did that for me. God, would you walk with me all the days of my life? I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Church, can we celebrate the hand that went up this morning?
Thanks so much for joining us on today's podcast. We hope this message gives you hope. If you need prayer or want to reach out to us at all, we hope you do at info@centerset.church. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Centerset Church and Facebook. We'll see you guys next time.